Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to another episode of Let's Ride. It is Friday, and I am Jeff Hartman. Welcome back to another show. Hope you're ready for this one. We've got a good show coming up. We've got the latest news regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers. Art the Second has spoken. He does this every offseason. He has spoken to local media. We'll talk about some of that. We'll talk about some NFL rumors that are going on, as well as, you know, maybe could the Steelers be a playoff team in 2023, as well as diving deep into the numbers behind the AFC Championship game and answering the question, when will the Steelers be in another one of these games? It's about to come up this Sunday in Championship Weekend. I'll have Jeremy Jerome Betts on in the second half of the show to talk about all things that and more. We'll give our NFL picks and stay tuned to the very end for our hard dart. So if you haven't figured it out yet, folks, this is a jam-packed show and it is Friday. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. I hope you have a great weekend planned. Let's get things started off with Art Rooney II. You know, the secondhand media, so behindthesteelcurtain.com, that website's not recognized by the Steelers, so we don't know when this is happening, but those beat writers do, and all of a sudden, you just start seeing on Twitter all of this news start to come out. Like, it's literally, that's exactly how it goes. You're checking Twitter, and all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, where's this coming from? Well, Art Rooney is speaking to the media. Here's what Some of the little nuggets. I'm going to talk about this more probably on Monday or next week. Here's just some of the nuggets from Art Rooney II speaking with the media. From Joe Rutter. Joe Rutter's of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He said Art Rooney II hates the idea of any discussion that would move future conference championship games to neutral sites. Hey, I have something in common with Art Rooney. Also from Joe Rutter. Mike Tomlin, with 2 years left on his contract and previously has been extended at this juncture with 2 years left, Art Rooney II wouldn't comment on whether an extension is coming, saying he, quote, doesn't like to speculate on contract matters. Not sure what that means. Nonetheless, Dale Lawley of Steelers.com said Rooney said he'd obviously like to see the Steelers score more points, but pointed to the team breaking in two new quarterbacks this season as a reason for a slow start. Said he'd like to see the red zone offense get better. He continues. Rooney also said that Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett have built a, quote, good relationship. Said bringing in a different offensive coordinator for 2023 could set the young quarterback back. Also said the Steelers, quote, may have all the pieces around Pickett already, end quote. Though they could add to that. Interesting thoughts and a little boost of confidence for Matt Canada. Mark Cavalli of The Athletic says Art Rooney said there's nothing in the lease with the stadium, that's Acrisure Stadium, that says they have to play 10 home games. That was the case with Heinz Field. Now with Acrisure, they do not have that. Said they won't play abroad this year, but he spoke glowingly of Mexico. Jerry Dulac, our buddy Jer Bear from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, said about the job Mike Tomlin did despite missing the playoffs, Rooney said, quote, "The number one thing I want to see is if you get better as the season goes on. It should be your best team as the season goes on. I think we did that," end quote. All right. And lastly, Mark Cavalli says that Art Rooney pointed out the receivers need to be better with yak. Yak meaning yards after the catch. So that's just some of the stuff coming out right now. We'll get some more quotes from Art Rooney II and his meeting with the local media. Nonetheless, there were some NFL rumors to discuss. If you went to the website this morning, I'm sorry, Thursday morning, get confused. If you went to the website, you saw that there was a lot of rumors, a lot of it surrounding the AFC North, a lot of it surrounding the AFC. A couple of those, you can go check out the article yourself. There's a picture of old Lamar Jackson, as they say in Baltimore. And Lamar Jackson, there's actually a couple executives that think that he could be traded. And I didn't even think about this, but Lamar Jackson's turned down some pretty lucrative deals with the Baltimore Ravens. And I talked about that on Wednesday. We did all about the AFC North quarterbacks, but I never thought about comparing Lamar Jackson to Le'Veon Bell at the end of his Pittsburgh tenure. If the Baltimore Ravens franchise tag him, he could just not show up. I mean, this could get ugly, folks, but they're saying, and on the ESPN article, it was written by Jeremy Fowler, that he could possibly go to the NFC. They picked the Falcons. Interesting. Aaron Rodgers could be headed to the AFC. Some are speculating with Nathaniel Hackett going to the New York Jets. He could be going to the Jets with him. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Nonetheless, it could. The Jets need a quarterback. Zach Wilson's not that guy. Also, Joe Burrow, they're expecting him to get paid big time, an extension that would be added on to the fifth-year option that the Bengals will be picking up on his rookie deal. And like I always say, I said it on Wednesday, welcome to cap hell, Cincinnati. You're going to have that dealing, being on your conscience, so to speak, or on your salary cap for a long time coming. Also on ESPN, Bill Barnwell listed seven teams. He ranked seven teams that he believes weren't in the playoffs this year but will be in the playoffs next year. Pittsburgh, number three on that list, only behind, I believe, the Green Bay Packers, number two, and the Los Angeles Rams, number one. You can check out that article on the website as well. I covered that there. There you go. There's the news. Let's get to the crux of this podcast, shall we? The AFC Championship game is being played between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium. And everyone, at least me, maybe I am everyone, they want to know, when will the Steelers be in another AFC Championship game? Yeah, that's what everyone wants to know. It's been a long time since the Steelers even won a playoff game. It's been even longer since they've been in the AFC Championship game. And so what I decided to do, I just wanted to look up some history. And that's where this started. I had the question, and then I was like, yeah, let's look up some history first. So here's some perspective. Since 1970... the most AFC Championship wins belongs to the New England Patriots with 11. I don't think that should shock anyone considering the dominance they had in the 2000s. The most losses, this might shock some people, the Pittsburgh Steelers with 8. They have 8 AFC Championship losses. Continue. The most hosted AFC Championship games in team history, the Pittsburgh Steelers with 11. The most appearances since 1970, the Pittsburgh Steelers with 16. In those 16 games, they are 8-8. So what I decided to do, I decided to go back since Bill Cowher took over the Steelers in 1992. And I just wanted to look at the Steelers in the AFC Championship game during that stretch. And if I'm being honest, I didn't look back at this with anything in particular in mind. I didn't think about this and say, well, you know what? Like, what does this mean? Because, I mean, but if I'm going back to 1994, does it really matter? It doesn't have any impact on today's game. Nonetheless, free agency was a thing. That's one of the reasons why when people talk about the Steelers' history, while the 70s count, if that 70s team was a team today, they wouldn't be able to keep them together as long as they did. Free agency would have broken them up. They wouldn't have been able to afford everyone. I mean, you could have seen Mel Blunt running around in a different uniform because they had to pay Joe Green and Jack Lambert or something like that. So it's different. So I always like to start in around the 94 or when Bill Cowher takes over in 1992. So here are the AFC Championship games the Steelers played in since that time. 1994, I remember this game like it was yesterday. Stan Humphries and the San Diego Chargers come into Pittsburgh and win. 1995, the Steelers get back, still hosting. They host Jim Harbaugh and the Indianapolis Colts. Captain comeback almost does it again. I thought I had a heart attack at a very young age as I watched the ball fall to the Heinz Field, the Three River Stadium turf. Steelers win, go on to Super Bowl 30, and lose. 1997, John Elway and the Denver Broncos come into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers. 2001, the New England Patriots come to Pittsburgh, beat the Steelers. 2004, Ben Roethlisberger's rookie season. The New England Patriots come to Pittsburgh, and they win. Spygate. What? Nothing. I'm going to move on. 2005, the Steelers go on the road. They have to go to the Denver Broncos. They win. That was that magical run to Super Bowl 40. They win that game and eventually win the Super Bowl. In 2008, they beat the Baltimore Ravens at home. They win that game, and they go on to win the Super Bowl. 2010, they beat the New York Jets at home, and they lose the Super Bowl to the Green Bay Packers, Super Bowl 45. And the last time they've been in the AFC Championship game, something that Dave Schofield alluded to in his podcast on Thursday, the Steelers Stat Geek, in 2016, they go to New England, and they get absolutely demolished. And that's when combat catch Kobe Hamilton's having to do everything, and it just was not pretty. We'll put it that way. So since 1992, the Steelers have four AFC Championship wins and five AFC Championship losses. What I found was really interesting is that out of all those games, nine football games played, only two were on the road. They have hosted so many AFC Championship games, and unfortunately, a lot of those have ended in disappointment. I know that our own Brian Davis has been to several of these games, and he talks about in 2001 leaving just with like a total gut punch when your team is just so close and yet so far, if you want to put it that way. So, okay, let's take a look at this current roster, and we know it's going to change, both in free agency, both with players leaving and players staying and players being acquired. And we know it's going to change with the upcoming 2023 NFL draft and the Steelers picks. We've talked about all that. So what's missing? I think that's the question here. We went over the history, and that's all fine. It's some interesting stuff. But what's missing from the current Steelers roster that is going to help them get back to this game, to have them back with an opportunity, just an opportunity to actually win a game, to win and get into the AFC Championship game, and then to be in a Super Bowl again? What's it going to take and what's missing? To me, and there's a lot of people out there that might be listening to this saying, oh, they need a new quarterback. And hey, oh, if that's your prerogative, that's fine, but that's not mine. I can't get out of my head the two games this season, this past 2022 season, where the Steelers played the top-notch competition in the NFL and got absolutely manhandled. And that was at Buffalo and at Philadelphia. And when I say they got manhandled, it was in the trenches. That's where they got manhandled. The Eagles and the Bills owned the line of scrimmage on both offense and defense. Wasn't even close. And so when I saw that, and I never forgot that, yes, the Steelers turned it on in the second half. Yes, they played better. Yes, they won 7 of 9. Yes, they finished with a winning record. Blah, blah, blah. We've all heard it ad nauseum. What they're missing is dominance in the trenches. And when you go back and look at the Steelers teams that have won Super Bowls, they were, in some cases, the only caveat to me is Super Bowl 43. When you have Justin Hartwig at center, and a very average offensive line, they did it with the defense that dominated. So the Steelers have got to get dominant in the trenches in some way. In some way. Now, in 2005, they had both. And that was important. That was vital with a young quarterback. So what do we have now? As Steeler fans, we're looking at the team. We see another young quarterback. Kenny Pickett going into year two. You're not going to be able to do it. Ben Roethlisberger was able to make those plays in Super Bowl 43 and on the way to Super Bowl 43. You can't ask that of Kenny Pickett in year two, because you didn't ask that of Ben Roethlisberger in year two either. He delivered when it mattered, but he didn't have to do it all by himself. The Steelers have to do the same thing. Follow that same formula that you saw in Super Bowl 40. Build up the trenches. That is where this team is lacking. And no, I don't want you to think that me saying this means that Cam Hayward sucks. He doesn't suck. He's amazing. But he's only one guy. Who else is with him? Okay, Larry Ogunjobi's there. That's great. He played well. Is he coming back? He's a free agent. The offensive line did okay. They started to play a lot better. They played a lot together, I'll tell you that. Everyone knows that. But ultimately, the offensive line was not mauling anyone. They were not dominant, I don't think, in any performance in this game, in this season. They came close down the stretch. That's what they need. The trenches. Now, how far off are they is a good question. That's a good follow-up question. If you ask me the question, what's missing, Jeff? And I say, well, they have to get better in the trenches. Well, how far off are they? Good follow-up question. Thanks for asking. I don't think they're as far off as you might think. I'm going to be very blunt. I don't think they're as far off as you might think. Let's talk about the defensive line. I already mentioned Cam Hayward. Do they bring back Larry Ogunjobi? I don't know. $8 million for 1 year, if that's what his expectations are, I don't think they're going to pay that. But if Larry Ogunjobi leaves, you have DeMarvin Leal, Isaiah Loudermilk. I don't think Tyson Alualu is coming back. I think he might retire, actually. So what do? You draft a monster? That would be great. I would love that. I'd love it. They need it. They're going to need it. They need that big body, that Javon Hargrave type that could play inside and outside, something Dave Schofield talked about when I had him on the podcast doing our team needs. Also, let's go to the offensive side. I mean, you're talking about Chukwuma Okorafor, Dan Moore as your bookend tackles. You can survive with those, but can you thrive with those? That's kind of what I'm talking about here. You're either thriving or barely surviving. And in some positions on the offense, they're surviving, but they're barely surviving. Time to thrive, time to dominate. That's where their focus should be this offseason, both in free agency and in the NFL draft. Get the job done, and I think you will see the Steelers back in the playoffs. And once they get in, if they have the trenches, they can do some damage. That's what I think. That's what I know. Book it. What else you can count on is Jeremy Jerome Betts coming up in the second half of this podcast for the All Bets Are Off segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it is Friday. It is the second half of the show, and that means it's time for the All Bets Are Off segment. Jeremy Jerome Betts is back after taking a week hiatus. What's up, Jeremy? How's it going?
It's going great. I missed our chat last week, but happy to be back on. Let's do it.
Yeah, I normally don't do this so early in our segment, but I mean, you've been having a crap ton. You've been having a ton of interviews with some really key people in college football. And in case people don't know or haven't checked it out, please let us know the last 2 weeks what you and Andrew Wilbar have been doing.
Yeah, man, we've it's been awesome. We got Paris Johnson Jr. From Ohio State, a guy that gets mocked to the Steelers a lot, and a guy that the Steelers would probably have near the top of their board this year. I don't know if he'll be there when the Steelers pick at 17, but man, it was really cool to interview him. We got him. We got running back Eric Gray from Oklahoma, and he also played at Tennessee before transferring between 2020 and 2021. And this last year, he had a fantastic season. Basically, we've been reaching out to some guys, and they get back with us, and we work through their agents or whatnot to get them on. So we've got Eric Gray and Paris Johnson on the show 2 weeks ago, and we kind of just did that whole show around them. But then this last week, this last Tuesday, we had the privilege of getting Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl. He's the senior director there since, I think, 2018. So he's been there a while now. He fit us in, and he was a fantastic interview. Gave us a lot of insights to the Senior Bowl, a lot of things that, you know, maybe you don't see from the surface as to how these players get to the Senior Bowl and what the scouts and coaches are looking at when they're there. So it was really neat to talk about him, and we previewed the Senior Bowl. We've got a couple more interviews coming up, so this next week's show will have another interview. I won't spoil it yet, but we'll hopefully have a couple more even after that in the lead up to the draft. So staying busy with that. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and it's such a new dynamic. I mean, we have other shows that have guests, but not like this, not players, not Jim Nagy, who's turned the Senior Bowl into something really significant in his time as the senior director. I mean, it was always there.
Right.
But boy, has it really blossomed and turned into something with the NFL Network there all week, and they're filming the practices, and it's just, it is something. And they also have the Zebra Technologies, which Dave Schofield on the Stat Geek had their director on last year. I think it was after the draft, actually, and he had him on the Stat Geek podcast, and they talked about all this data that they had from the Senior Bowl on Kenny Pickett and Calvin Austin III. So really good stuff. Make sure you check that out. But Jeremy, I want to ask you about an article that you wrote for the website, and this article ran on, I believe it was Wednesday. And it was all about what the Steelers can learn from the NFL divisional round participants.
Yeah.
Now, the NFL playoffs are in the thick of it. They're in the AFC and NFC championship games. We're going to give you our picks here in a second. But in that article, you kind of outlined your thoughts on what the Steelers are lacking. And I want to give you a chance to explain yourself, and then we'll talk about it. So go ahead and do that.
Yeah, so the basic premise is, if you look at the divisional round opponents from this year, and I think, you know, just a quick glance looking back as well, it would kind of fall into the same category. And in previous years, you have the rare outlier. But specifically in 2022, you look at the teams that made the divisional round. So the eight best teams in the league for all intents and purposes. And you got basically one of two things in common with all of these teams. And for a couple of them, they even have both of these things. But these teams, they either have an exceptional franchise caliber quarterback, or they have an offensive genius leading the system that can cover up the mistakes of a less than franchise quarterback, if you will. So maybe a mid-tier quarterback or something like that. So my premise was, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in order to get back into contention in the era of football that we're in, they have to find the guy at one or both of those critical positions. So if you take San Francisco, they've got Brock Purdy at quarterback, and you know, you're talking about a system though with Kyle Shanahan that has since 2016 put an offense in the conference championship. In four of those seasons. So with the Atlanta Falcons in 2016, and then three times in the last 4 years with the San Francisco 49ers. And that's with Matt Ryan at quarterback. We saw what he looked like this last year with the Colts. That's with Jimmy Garoppolo. That's with, Brock Purdy this year. So they've got that play caller, and he's the head coach, obviously, but he calls the plays. He designs the offense. And then you look at teams like Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati. They've got Patrick Mahomes. They've got Josh Allen. They've got Joe Burrow. These guys that are transcendent quarterbacks. And that's the reason they are where they're at as well. So my premise is the Steelers need to find, they need to hope Kenny Pickett is that guy at quarterback, can be a franchise caliber quarterback, because I truly do not believe that Matt Canada's system and his ability to call plays can transcend the talent on the roster and make them better. It's more of a, like if you look at Buffalo, Josh Allen's the one who makes them better, because Ken Dorsey's system is not elevating really anybody else. And when Josh Allen could not hang and against Cincinnati, when he wasn't able to be Superman, they fell apart. And so I think you've got to have one or the other. But that play caller is something interesting, something the Steelers need to really consider.
So, I mean, they're going to have Matt Canada back next year.
Correct.
That's a foregone conclusion, barring something really out of left field. I mean, he's going to be back. So how far off do you think the Steelers are is my next question. That's my follow up. Yeah. So, I mean, clearly you don't think they're there. Are they not going to get there until Canada leaves? Or if they have a really good free agency and a really great draft with all those high draft picks, could they maybe mask some of that in 2023?
Yeah. So I think, like I said in my article, a lot rests on Kenny Pickett here. And year two, you want to see that leap. And I'm not saying that the Steelers have to see that from Kenny Pickett in year two in order to stick with Kenny Pickett, because I think we're too impatient with our quarterbacks sometimes. If you go back to the Josh Allen example, you've got a guy that took 3-4 years in Buffalo before he became the Josh Allen that we know. And so Kenny Pickett, though, as long as they have Matt Canada in place, as long as they do not find a transcendent play caller, it falls on Kenny Pickett to be a Joe Burrow, to be a Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, at that level, at least a franchise caliber quarterback, Jalen Hurts, even Dak Prescott to me is there. He struggles a little bit more in big games, but he's still an elite quarterback in this league. He's one of the top 7 or 8 quarterbacks. So Kenny Pickett needs to be getting there. He needs to be one of the top 7 or 8 quarterbacks in the league in order for this team to get back to championship contention without a play caller that's going to Kyle Shanahan, or have the Kyle Shanahan effect on that roster.
It's really interesting, man. It's really interesting. And I wanted to get your take on this. I said when the Steelers were, you know, in the doldrums of their season at 2-6, I was like, we're going to talk about this every week. And then they started to win games. And I was like, we're not talking about this every week. Well, the season's over now. And I want to bring it back up. And when you think about the team needs, and again, this is not necessarily just the NFL draft. This could be free agency. This could be in the draft. When you're looking at the Steelers team needs, what would your top three team needs be at positionally for the Steelers entering this offseason?
Sure. I think number one for me is cornerback. I think you've got to, what we're seeing with this defense is the ability to create pressure to force offenses to make mistakes and a less than stellar secondary take advantage. And I say less than stellar, you still got Minkah Fitzpatrick back there, and he's obviously all pro. But I think where the Steelers could benefit greatly on defense is by finding a number one cornerback who can, for all intents and purposes, take away one half of the field. And if you get that type of guy, if you get a Jalen Ramsey or a Stephon Gilmore type player in on your defense, then some of these times where the pressure can't get there because the quarterback's just getting rid of the ball quickly to wide open receivers because the secondary is not good enough. The cornerbacks specifically are not good enough to hold these wide receivers in check long enough for the pass rush to get there. If you can kind of complement each other from the back end to the front end, I think that you'll improve the defense, and by extension, you know, you don't need your offense to do as much. So I would say cornerback is number one. Number two, I'm actually moving up the interior of the offensive line. Left guard, I'm going to go there. Left guard is to me the bigger issue right now along the offensive line, and it's because of how the Steelers want to play offense. And you need a real mauler back there or along the front line there to push guys around and let Najee Harris do his work. So I would say interior offensive line. And then Thirdly, it's interior defensive line. So you've got to attack the middle. You've got to build in the trenches. You got to get good on the outside as well. That's why I say cornerback, but those three for sure. It's time to restack that interior defensive line and find a true blue collar talent along the offensive line as well.
Well, and you know, Wednesday morning, Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN puts out his first mock draft, and he has your boy Paris Johnson going well ahead of 17.
Right.
And who do they take? It's a runs in the family, Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn
sure.
State. And the comments on the article that I covered, oh my gosh, they don't know. They should be doing this. And it all begins, you know, it all begins. The draft Knicks are out. They are ready to go. They're ready to complain. They're ready to be the couch GMs, as we like to call them. So, or the couch cons, as they'll say on What Yin's Talking About. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to keep coming back to that, but let's get back to the playoffs, because the playoffs, I thought the divisional round was pretty good. A lot of people were kind of down on it. Didn't think that the games were that great. I was pretty pleased with it, and I kept tabs on it, but these AFC and NFC championship games, I think, are going to be phenomenal.
Yes.
I was really happy that there was no neutral site game. It just rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't like it, so that's not happening. Let's do our picks, and we're going to go in order of the games themselves. So Sunday at 3 o'clock, the San Francisco 49ers go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly's giving 2.5 at home. What do you think about this NFC matchup?
This matchup is exactly what the NFL would have wanted. These two teams are both on the rise. I think, you know, a lot of people were kind of down on the Eagles with the Hurts injury, Hurts being hurt, and them having the bye week. It's like, how are they going to come out? Are they going to come out cold? Well, they came out blazing hot like they were all season. If Jalen Hurts had been healthy all season, they probably only lose the one game, and they're the first 16-1 team in NFL history. So I think that they're just as good as San Francisco, but there's something about the San Francisco squad as well. Kyle Shanahan's in his bag, in his element, and that defense is playing really good. I think this game could be much lower scoring than some people might think, because these two defenses know how to limit opposing offenses. They both know how to stop the run, and that's a big strength of each of these offenses as well. So after watching last week's games, before the playoffs started, I had San Francisco going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to change that now. I like the Eagles, and I like them at the spread too. I think they'll win by three. It's going to be a close game, so I'm going to take the Eagles at -2.5.
To me, sometimes when these games are close, you have to go with big-time players in big-time situations. Now, both of these, the position everyone looks at is quarterback, and neither of these quarterbacks have proven themselves in postseason play. Brock Purdy, obviously, as a rookie, hasn't, and neither has Jalen Hurts. But I will take Jalen Hurts in this matchup, especially at home. You know, Brock Purdy has won those first two playoff games. Give him credit. He's done it at home, and it's not been an opponent like the Philadelphia Eagles. I was very impressed with the Eagles against the Giants in the divisional round. And so I think Philly wins, and I think they cover. I wouldn't be shocked if this actually turns into a runaway game. I just think that quarterback position, I'm not saying a runaway like a blowout, but maybe that the Philly covers the spread easily. So something to think about. So I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles. You like them as well, but let's go to the game at 6:30. Cincinnati in Kansas City. This is incredible. Kansas City is a home dog because of that high ankle sprain. They're getting one point at home because that high ankle sprain to Patrick Mahomes. No one knows what to think about that. What do you think about this game, Jeremy?
Man, if the Bengals felt like a team of destiny last year, I think it's even more so this year. There's just something about this Bengals squad that almost feels unstoppable, and it's just because their players are better than yours, especially on offense, where Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, Joe Burrow's going to find one of those guys open. He's so good at reading the field, and he's so calm back there. And despite the injuries to the Bengals offensive line and being undermanned there, they held up very well against Buffalo last week when you thought maybe Gregory Rousseau and company could kind of flap the unflappable Joe Flacco or Joe Burrow Joe Flacco, that's a different story.
Yeah, it is.
but man, this is tough for Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, so much of what he does is off script and with his legs. And if you take that away, can the Chiefs build an offense that's quick strike, hits Juju Smith-Schuster over the middle, gets it to Travis Kelce on some out routes, and continues running the ball well against a Cincinnati defense that has been really good? It's going to be tough. And although Kansas City is at home, and I do like a home dog, I think I'm going to ride with the Bengals here, especially at this spread. The Bengals got to win. If I like them to win, you know, I think it's going to be by at least a point. So I'm going to take the Bengals here. And I do think the Bengals go to back-to-back Super Bowls here with a win in Kansas City. It just seems like that's the way it's going to be.
When I think about this game, I've gone back and forth probably three or four times about who I think is going to win. And it's so close, so evenly matched. Quarterbacks are both fantastic.
Yeah.
This game is one of those where you could see it swinging either way. The injury to Patrick Mahomes is definitely something to consider. But the one thing I continue to go back to, and this is why I'm going to make my pick the way that I am, the Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion, have been the far more consistent football team this season. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati has had stinkers. They've had games where they don't look anywhere near an AFC premier team. You could go back to the wild card round against Baltimore, and that was a game where they did not look that great. I think Kansas City's consistency playing at home, and even if Patrick Mahomes is slightly immobilized with his ankle injury, mm-hmm. they are going to find a way. And if there's a coach that I trust to find a way, it's Coach Reed and Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City. I'm going to take the home dog. Give me the Chiefs getting the points. Send the Bengals home. I hope the Bengals aren't in the Super Bowl again. So we both have Philly coming out of the NFC. Yeah. You've got Cincinnati. I've got Kansas City. I think that would be a phenomenal game. I actually think any combination of these teams is going to be fantastic in the Super Bowl. So what are your final thoughts on that? Anything?
Well, I was just, you know, I'm asking you about this AFC. I'm going to call you out. I think this is a heart play by you, Jeff, a hatred for the Bengals.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I listened to the Steelers Hangover this week, and Brian Davis and Shannon White were just so passionate about their hatred for the Bengals. That's not me.
Okay,
I respect Joe Burrow. I think he's a heck of a quarterback. And anyone that says that they wouldn't want him on their team, well, that's just jealousy talking.
Right.
He's really good. I really don't like Patrick Mahomes. I can't stand the guy. He's annoying. I hate seeing his commercials all over the place, his stupid sideshow bob hair. Like, I just can't stand it. And so for me, I don't want to see the Bengals because they are a rival of the Steelers. And no, I don't like them.
Sure.
The rivalry has changed since the Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones days. But for me, I'm trying to keep it straight up. And I agree that, yeah, there's probably a little bit of black and gold going through my veins when I make this pick. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting. We'll see. It's going to be fun. But Jeremy, why don't you go ahead and explain what you have coming up on the website as well as your podcast next week. And then, go for it.
Well, if you like my team building strategies, then you'll be seeing several more of those. I'm going to start a three-part series on the website covering free agency, like the Steelers free agents, and then outside free agency, and then the draft. And basically, I'm going to talk about who I would keep, who I would add, and then do a mock draft as well to kind of talk about the players and the positions I would address in the draft when I think is strong and everything. So that's coming up on the website. And then keep tuning into the Steelers Fix. We're going to have another interview this week. We're trying to work on one this coming week. We're trying to work on one for the following Tuesday as well. And in the times where we don't have interviews, we're going to be talking the NFL draft. We're going to be talking free agency. It's the Steelers Fix. We're trying to fix them for 2023. So follow us there, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheBets93. Up over 200 followers now, so let's keep it rolling.
There you go.
Lots of content coming your way.
All right. Sounds great, Jeremy. Thanks for your time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
You too. All right, Steeler fans, big thanks to Jeremy Jerome Betts for taking the time, as he always does every Friday. It was a great talking with him. Let's finish this up, like we do every Friday, with a heart-to-heart. You know, I mentioned all the AFC Championship games that in the first half of the show, And it brings back a lot of memories. I talked about Stan Humphries and the San Diego Chargers shocking the Steelers in the rain in 94. The win over the Indianapolis Colts in 95. 2001, that horrible game against the New England Patriots where the Steelers gave up a touchdown every possible way. In 04, that was the game that, you know, Tom Brady comes in and he comes in and basically picks them apart. And that was something that was a trend. We know that. But then you go to the good things too, like the 08 game against the Baltimore Ravens and Troy Polamalu's interception. You talk about going to Denver, and that game was never really that close. Some really great memories. I just want to say that this weekend, with championship weekend coming up, enjoy these games. Every season is kind of like its own little microcosm, and I hate it when football's over. I hate it when the Steelers season is over worse, but I really get kind of down when football is over. And it's about to be done, and then we'll be back in the doldrums of another offseason. And yes, there's a lot of good stuff that happens with free agency in the draft. And yes, I'm always going to be here for you every step of the way on this Let's Ride podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But otherwise, just enjoy these games. It's the last day that we'll have more than one football game, so enjoy it. All right, folks, that does it for me. In the meantime, make sure you check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. We want that to be your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. Check out all our podcasts on the platform. And as we finish it out here, be safe, be kind, and God bless. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Go Steelers.